Good morning. I discovered this piece in my archives. It dates from 7 years ago. I hope you like it.
I meet a lot of people where I work. I meet old folks and traveling folks and romantics on the mend. I talk to everyone, and almost everyone talks back to me. Oh, there are the silent ones now and then, but not so many. And I do believe that someday they will talk. It is my job to be patient. It's their job to get through the day as best they can. I meet people who talk incessantly. They talk as if silence, any silence, is terrifying. I meet people who choose their words, and I meet people who throw their words away. I meet people who will run out of air before they run short of words, and I meet people who don't speak 100 words in a whole day. I've been thinking lately about the little people who talk to me in the store. I've been thinking about the children of the driftless who stand before me and show me their eyes. They have such eyes. All of them have such eyes. The greens and the blues and the grays and the browns shine with a purity unmuddied by time. They are full of tears and full of laughter and full of questions and anxious to give their answers. The eyes of children are honest. It is obvious when I am welcomed into their world, and just as clear when I should allow a big, safe space for them, a space into which they can disappear behind their moms and dads, a space from which they peek out when the courage presents itself. I'm blessed with patience in these matters. I learned a long time ago not to push a timid child, but celebrate their honesty and go where the time takes us. I have found that once I let go of my need for them to like me, the door opens and we find each other, all in good time. Violet is very young and just discovering her words. A few months ago, she was almost silent, at least towards me. Now she takes great delight in repeating overheard phrases. She's trying out the powerful things that grown-ups utter like, "See ya," and, "Hey, that's my banana." She looks up at the overhead ductwork in the store, 3-foot diameter tubes crisscrossing the ceiling, leading from nowhere to nowhere again. She points and she says, "Hamsters." She's looking at an imaginary habit trail high above our heads, and I wonder about the animals she imagines in them. Asa is a little boy who has been shy with me. He peeks out from behind his mother and then darts back to the safety of her legs. Lately, he has squeezed out a smile on his way back into hiding. I do so love those first hints of friendship. Repeating a gesture of mine, a look back on his way out of the store, a smile where there used to be his hidden face. We sat down at his mother's invitation to make paper airplanes. Now, I confess that I have a certain expertise with such things. We made 2, and they flew beautifully. I was told later that Asa and his mom flew them all day and that he slept with them, crumpling the planes in his flying dreams. When they left the store, he said to his mom, "Ed is a good boy." I've never received a finer compliment than that. Molly is an old friend of mine. She is 7. I've known her for most of her life. She's known me for a tiny sliver of mine. Isn't that just grand? Don't you love that it makes no difference to either of us when we were born? We are on the planet together for now, and that is all that matters. Ellabella Farm has a row of remarkable trees, arborvitae. They are old and misshapen in the most marvelous ways. Molly first visited the farm 4 years ago, and she discovered that one of those trees had side-by-side branches that look like twin L's. She's not been to our place in 2 years, but the other day, as we were perusing greeting cards together in the store, she said to me, "Do you still have the Molly tree?" I said yes, and she smiled as if everything would be permanently okay. I'm lucky to have all the talkers on my line in the store. And luckier still to have the children of the Driftless there.